We're back, so we'll leave it alone. But we appreciate God's hand being upon this church and upon the people. There's people from Calvary Temple all over the country, and some that are pastoring and others that are just attending church, leading worship and lifting up the name of Jesus. And I'm glad that we've had a part in so many lives. And it's hard to as we face this Mother's Day, to know we need to pray for Brother Kincaid. This is the first Mother's Day that he's been without his wife, Sister Kincaid, Sister Delilah. Wonderful lady that absolutely was an inspiration to us all. And we appreciate her. And a special honor to all of our mothers and to all of our ladies. And I think that it's fitting that we especially honor Sister Watson this morning. She and Brother Watson were pastors of our church 2 times. Boy, that's amazing. I think the second time was a miracle in so many ways, but we appreciate Sister Watson. I know that our children do. I know that they rise up and call her blessed because she's a wonderful mom, and she's been a wonderful mother figure to our church and continues to be an inspiration and a blessing. But each one of you moms, we love you and we appreciate you. Now, for all of our ladies, did you notice the change from moms to ladies? All of our ladies, when you leave church, don't go out I don't know if that's the back or the front. Don't go that way. Go this way. And then when you open the doors, you're going to see the beautiful tablecloths and plants on all of the tables. And we want you to take one with you. All of the ladies, take you a plant. Find your favorite. Hopefully there won't be too much clamoring over the same one. They're all different. But there's one there for you. And we want you to take that with you. And just remember how much we love you. When you see that plant grow, and if it dies, we hold no responsibility to you. But thank you. God bless everyone. We're going to look in the book of Luke today, chapter 2. I'm going to read three of the passages out of the gospel, Luke, John, and Mark. And we're going to speak of mothers, but we're also going to tie it back to giving Jesus glory at the end of our service. The scripture says in verse 17, we just got through with Christmas 5 months ago, a little less than 5 months ago, perhaps, but I want to read this again. It says, now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. Now you right away can tell that this is speaking of Jesus' birth. And all those who heard marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary... And this is kind of the essence of our message today. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The message today is a mother's heart. It must have been amazing for Mary to all that was going on. I mean, just in a child being born is a big deal. There's a lot happening, and all of you moms can remember that. I was present when both of our boys were born. On the second occasion when Donnie was born, I had the insensitivity to say, that's not so bad, is it? And I was wrong. It was that bad and beyond. There's some things going on, but when the baby is born, how precious it is, and I've heard so many new moms say, and we fell in love instantly. That's a mother. You fall in love instantly, and you keep these good things in your heart. Now, I don't normally do this, but I'm going to do it today. I feel like there's someone that needs to hear these words. This has nothing to do with Mother's Day nor the sermon. But I'm going to read this because I feel the Lord wanted it to be read. If it touches no one, it'll do no damage. because it's the Word of God. Isaiah 6 and 13 says, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called, or that they may be called, trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He, God, might be glorified. This is the message, that you have not been abandoned nor forgotten. The answer is in progress. Whatever it is that you might be needing. And this is the end of this side message. Getting back to the word that we just read, and Mary pondering the things in her heart. There was a song written in 96 possibly, and it's called Mary, Did You Know? Written by Mark Lowry. And the song says, Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And I like this line. I love this line. And when you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? I think almost when we've all kissed the little babies, we've kissed the face of God. Nothing so precious as that newborn, that little one. Oh, Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? I know it repeated, but that's the song. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, and the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? And did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? And this sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am. Mary had a lot of things to ponder. What the shepherds told her, and a little bit later on, what Simeon and Anna would say in the temple upon the dedication of Jesus. She had a lot of experiences. She had seen the angel, and the angel said, don't get worried. This is all of God. And the conception of Christ was nothing physical, all spiritual. And it was absolutely a miracle in every way. Mary was probably somewhere around 17 or 18 years old when Jesus was born. She was young. And in being young, she was also probably stronger than she might have been later. God chose the timing and the age. But when I thought she was only 50 or 51 when Jesus was crucified, oh, what a hurt that was. I want to look next to the book of John, chapter 19, 25 through 27. This is the crucifixion of Christ. And this is such a difficult time. I wish we could have been saved without this, but we couldn't. It required the blood of Christ, the sacrifice for our sins. I heard a psychiatrist, I'm not sure where his title is. He's written several books. His name is Kevin Lehman, and he is one of the most practical guys I've ever met. And in teaching how to deal with children, he's very practical. He's not so much about spoiling kids and giving every desire to them, but rather, to give them some guidelines because they feel safe with that. But someone asked him, well, what do you do for your mother on Mother's Day? Well, it's too late possibly if we haven't thought of something good. Maybe not. Maybe there's other ideas. He said, do something different. Do something. He said, flowers and candy are overblown. I agree with the flowers, but the candy, I'm not so sure. That kind of candy works for me. But I cleaned the back porch for Debbie. Now, wait a minute. The problem with that is that doesn't mean a lot because I dirtied the back porch. It was all my fault. But then I hung some lights that I got from Home Depot, and that was kind of the gift. The other part was way far behind what should have been done a long time ago. But whatever we do for our mothers, it's great to honor, to remember. Sister Watson has several things that she's got from her kids, it's just wonderful to be able to share and to do something nice for Mom on Mother's Day. This next portion, again, it's hard to hear, but it's part of the gospel. John 19 and 25 through 27, it says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother." This is a hard place to be. His mother had witnessed how beaten down he was. She had seen the blood on his back from the stripes and the blood on his head from the crown of thorns and the abuse that he had gone through. This is hard for a mother. This is hard. But this is what was required for Jesus to die for us. So there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary. We'll get to that in a little bit. How many remember Daryl and my other brother Daryl? Not quite the same, but maybe close. Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. I thought when I read that, that's three Marys. They could do a folk group, right? Peter, Paul, and Mary. No, Mary, Mary, and Mary. But when Jesus, therefore, saw his mother, this must have been difficult for Jesus, on the cross, but he had presence of mind enough to recognize her and to care for her for the future. He couldn't do it. He was going back to God. And when he saw his mother and the disciple that whom he loved, John writes the book, and John's the disciple whom he loved. And he's standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Now she was looking at her son on a cross, and that was difficult. But what he was saying is, "I got to go, but I want to make sure you're cared for. And I want you to look over to John." John was probably Mary's nephew. Good indication that he was related that way. And to the disciple that he loved, I'm adding that, "Behold your mother." In other words, I want you to take care of Mom. I want you to make sure she has everything she needs. And John writes, "And from that hour, this disciple took her into his own home." Now, the fact that she was an aunt and close, that probably meant something, but I believe with all of my heart that John took good care of Mary. It's a hard thing to see your son on the cross and to see him so beaten. I want to go next to the book of Mark. And in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, I believe. No, verse 1 through 8. Mark 16, 1 through 8. "Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James," this is the same mother that was wife of Clopas, "and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him." Now, a lot of times people say, well, you know, in our church, about 70, 80% of us are family through marriage, blood, something, right? A lot of people are related. Jesus had family all around him too. Because Mary, the other Mary, or mother, the mother of James, this was James the Less, and Salome was the mother of John and James, I'm sorry, the sons of Zebedee. And they were sisters. So you had two aunts of Jesus and Mary Magdalene that came to anoint the body of Jesus. Where were the guys? The disciples were scared to death hiding out. But the moms, the family members, they were going. They didn't care about the Roman government. They didn't care about the religious leaders of Israel. They were going to do a job. And they were going to get the job done. They had bought very expensive spices. The body of Christ was prepared halfway by Joseph Arimathea and Nicodemus. They were going to finish the job. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb. And when the sun had risen, they said among themselves, "Who will roll the stone away?" That's a big job, big deal, of the door of the tomb for us. And when they looked up, they saw the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. So that was one step out of the way. When they entered the tomb, they saw the young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. They were scared. "What's going on? Who are you, and where's Jesus?" And he answered quickly. He said unto them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified." He was crucified. He was dead. You came to prepare his body, and he doesn't need that because he's risen. He's not here. He'd not only risen, but he had already moved away and taken off from there. See the place where they laid him? See, here's the little platform they had him laid upon, and the clothes that they wrapped around him, all of that wrapping. It's here. He's gone. But go tell his disciples, Peter, that he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him as he said unto you. It seems like these disciples should have been camping out by the tomb ready to see the resurrection. But they kind of got caught up in all of the death. A lot of people do that today. They get caught up in the death of Christ and aren't really paying attention that he's not there. He is risen. He's alive. Go tell his disciples and Peter. Peter gets special mentioning because he denied Jesus. And Jesus wanted to make sure that he got Peter back in the fold. He had work to do for God. On the day of Pentecost, he was going to be the main speaker. And that Jesus is going back to Galilee and meet you there, because that's what he said. So they quickly went out and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. They didn't talk to anyone else other than the disciples, and they shared that word with them. So Mary Magdalene was the first one to share the gospel of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I wanted to emphasize this because women are important to Christianity, and these mothers that wouldn't just be happy to leave things alone went out, and they were going to, but in doing that, and being aggressive in what they wanted to do to honor Jesus, they were the first preachers. They were the first ones to deliver the good news of the resurrection. Now Mary and her sister Mary. Mary's name would have been better translated Miriam. And Mary, her sister, my name is James. But James the Less, that's got to be offensive. Poor guy. But actually, James was the mother of Mary's sister, and that would have been translated better Maria. And also, Maria Magdalene would have worked better. So you have a Miriam and two Marias. And it doesn't matter so much, all of the names, but it's amazing how that these people worked together, these ladies, and they were at the cross. They were there watching the grueling agony of Christ, and they were ready to anoint his body and surprised by the resurrection. I don't know what you call your mom. I think I call mine mom. Most often mom. But if it's mama, mom, mother, or mommy, whatever it is, we want to respect and love our mothers today. On June the 11th, 1926, my mom was born in Grandma and Grandpa's house that had been handed down from Grandma and Grandpa great-grandma and grandpa. And it, believe me, it was a shack, but it was grandma and grandpa's house. No matter what the shack was, it was grandma and grandpa's house. And we often went there and visited, and grandpa loved company. He had a big family, 11 survived. They had 15 kids and 11 survived. Mom was, I think, the second from the oldest. She had one older sister. And she was born there at the house, and her name was Nancy Jane Haynes. I'm sorry, Nancy Jane Saylor. Boy, I'm jumping the gun. She didn't become a Haynes until 1949. But she was born in Holmes Mill, Kentucky, which right now is a very small place. I looked up what houses cost, and I saw one, only one, for $18,000. But it might be just the trailer that has to be moved from the lot. I don't know. I didn't spend a lot of time with it. My mom died April the 15th, 2005. And for some reason or other, I preached the Mother's Day sermon that year probably about a month later, somewhere around a month later. And it was easy to give honor to Mom because she was such a good lady and a strong Christian. My mom is here. If you can't see it real good, this is Mom. I picked this picture because Dad had a crazy hat, but Mom had a good smile on her face. She's a wonderful lady. She was 78 years old when she passed away, but she was a strong Christian. I thought, well, what kind of a story can I tell? I remember we were going to Kentucky for a visit, and I don't know what year it was, 60s, something 60s, probably 60s. My dad had a 1962 Country Squire station wagon, a very nice station wagon. And we were just leaving a town, and we went around a corner. And Dad, some way or another, hit the brakes, and the road was wet. And we begin to slide. Now, there's a mountain on this side. We didn't go that way. We went this way. This way was a bank and then a river down below. And there was a cable up there to kind of help you, right? So I remember, hey, this is scary. I don't know what's going to go on. I heard my mother say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And then the last Jesus propelled us back. And we hit the other side. Now, there was a little damage to the car where that cable took it, but we could still drive. Cars on behind us and in front of us stopped. We didn't hit anybody. And it was kind of amazing, but I'll never forget Mom's quick prayer and Jesus. I believe with all of my heart Jesus helped save us, because if we'd have gone down, I don't know the outcome. I'm just thankful for that car coming back around and going to the other side. But Mom believed in the Lord, and she taught us to have faith in God and to rely upon the Lord. I appreciate the heritage of my mom and Dad too, but remembering Mom, the best thing she gave me was to love Jesus. Debbie is going to come and share with you her remembrance of her mom. If you have something you want to share, you can. We'll ask everyone to share if you'd like.
I hope it's not too long. Is this on?
Nope, turn it on. Donnie's going to do something.
Thank you. Okay. Hi. I wrote this the other night, and I hope I can do this without crying, but I probably can't, so forgive me. I wrote it the other night in two pieces, and I wrote about four pages of notes to write this from. And I condensed it a lot, and it's still long, so I hope you don't get overwhelmed with it. I just titled it, Remembering Mama. Mama wasn't complicated. She might have been one of the first true WYSIWYGs. What you see is what you get. She was equally as strict as she was caring, as funny as she was somber, as staunch as she was progressive. Mama was a champion of the underdog, the less fortunate. She was compassionate and fiercely intolerant of prejudice or injustice of any kind, ever. Mama was a good mother. She gave sacrificially of her time to keep us clean and neat. Every Saturday night, she polished our white Oxford shoes and placed them on a newspaper to dry on the warm oven door that she left open. She starched our petticoats and hung them to dry. Terry hated those scratchy things, but I loved them. She set our wet hair on strips of cloth to make perfect curls, which Terry also hated, but I loved. And she ironed our dresses for church. We always had new dresses at Christmas and black patent leather Mary Jane shoes and matching dresses. Terry and I, this was before Jan was born, Terry and I always had matching dresses for Easter in different colors, with white sweaters and white Mary Jane shoes. Mama made sure we had what we needed. For camp one year, I remember I needed some new clothes, and she sewed me 3 new dirndl skirts and blouses to match without using a pattern. The skirts had high waistbands and wide sashes that tied in a big bow in the back and swished when I walked. One was a beautiful mint green dotted Swiss with matching white dotted Swiss blouse. Everyone at camp wanted to borrow my skirts, and I was so proud of them. She sewed our first formal gowns, too. Mine was burgundy velvet on top and pink satin on the bottom, and Terry's was navy blue velvet on the top and baby blue satin. She used a pattern for those dresses, and I kept that for a long time. Mama was a great cook and hostess, and people loved to come to her house. She loved her family and friends. Mama was intuitive. She dispensed wise advice, and people listened to her. She loved to travel. She loved the water, but she was terrified of it, so she made sure that we had swimming lessons so we wouldn't be. Mama knew things. She knew that she could trust Bobby to love Terry and care for her. She knew that Jim was the one for me. The moment she opened the front door when he came to get me on our very first date. She knew that my brother-in-law Matt was and Jan loved each other from the time they were kids. She knew Terry's wedding gown should be a big, frothy, lacy cupcake dress, and that mine shouldn't be. She knew the gown that was perfect for me, and it was. She knew we needed a relationship with God, and she quietly shaped us that way. She knew that I needed to learn to play the piano, and as a teenager, diligently trying to learn to play by ear by myself, Mama would sit listening to me at the kitchen table, giving me her correct but non-musical advice for improvement. Often she had tears in her eyes when we were doing this, but I didn't understand why then. Mama understood and loved babies, and they loved her. When Jan was born, 7 years after me, she would often be on the floor playing with the baby. She became a foster parent and dearly loved each one of those babies that she cared for. She loved her grandkids, and she delighted in every little thing they said and did. She taught us how babies should be cared for, and she set our mind at ease when something went wrong with one of our own. She didn't balk at Doug's million questions a day, and she laughed at Donnie's somewhat bizarre antics, like using an old shampoo bottle filled with purple-colored water as his nightstand water bottle. When Don, at 4 months old, was so very sick, wouldn't eat anything, she riced a boiled salted potato and spoon-fed him the salted water off of it, and he gobbled it up and started eating again. She always knew just what to do. Mama wasn't perfect. She wasn't pretentious, but she was deep. Her short life impacted so many in her realm of reach, and after all the struggles for my own independence and the arguments over my rights, I loved her, and I knew she loved me. It's been 30 years since Mama went to heaven, and I still miss her. I hope that she's been playing with all those unwanted babies, swimming in those heavenly streams, singing loudly in the choir or playing a harp, and doing all those things that she encouraged so many others to do that she herself couldn't. Rest in peace, Mama. I'll see you soon.
Uh-oh. When we were in Texas, our pastor came to me one day and he said, I got a letter from your mother-in-law. He said, I have never in my life received such a beautiful letter and thanking me for taking care of you guys when she wasn't here. I happen to know that there's other people that got letters that were the other side because you didn't mess with her family. That wasn't okay. And she would let you know. She wrote some letters letting people know she didn't appreciate them, the way they treated her family too. But she loved us and we loved her. And it's hard to let go. I'm going to ask Becky to come at this time and sing a song. And then we'll get your, if you have something to share about your mother. I think it's too important to let everybody have an opportunity to say how much you appreciate your mom.
Boy, Debbie, that was beautiful. Beautiful. I hope I can do this. Ah. My mom is still here. Thank the Lord.
Amen.
I thank the Lord for every minute that I've had with this wise woman. She has taught me everything I know. Taking nothing away from the men in our lives, because they were important too. But when I was a little girl, if I had a need, I went to Mom. If I was hurt, I went to Mom. And she was always there, always. She taught me what it means to be a lady. And I'm so proud of you, Mom. I'm so proud to be your daughter. And I love you with everything in me. And I thank you for being the godly example you've always been to me. Always, always, from the time I can remember, you taught us to love and respect the Lord, and I love you for that. I remember learning this song when I was a little girl. I don't know where from. I don't remember who taught it to me, but I love it, and so I'm going to try my best to sing it to all the moms, the stepmoms, the aunts, the uncles, the cousins, everybody. Everybody who has born and loved a child, the song is for you. Right.
your sweet caresses. H is for her hands that made a home. E means everything she's done to help me. R means real and regular, you see. Put them all together, they spell mother. A word that means the world to me. You put them all together, they spell mother. A word that means the world to me. I love you all.
Thank you, Becky, for singing that for us. Does anyone have something you'd like to share about your mom? Now, we have pictures of, and Bob said he didn't have his pictures because they're packed, but we appreciate those who brought pictures. Anyone at all want to share? You can cry while you do it. I don't care. We're not looking for a perfect delivery. We're looking for just what you want to say about your mom. My mom she never read a psychology book on how to raise us. Someone taught her that if you give the kids correction, they'll do good. And she did that. I know it's not trendy, but it sure worked for me because I'm scared to death still to break every law but the speed law. Anyone else you want to share? I'm sorry, way back there. Sister Janet?
My mother got saved at 30. Got the Holy Ghost, jumped in, became the song leader in the church, started preaching, started making music, and I had the next 10, 20 years of church, and it was great. It was a savior's call. Amen.
Praise God. And Sharon? Amen. Anyone else? Henry?
Didn't
Moms sacrifice, don't they? They sacrifice for their kids. Anyone else want to share about your mom, Don?
Having kids the age that our kids are, that, you know, you get over the baby stage, the loving, the cuddling, and they start to get this age and realize, you know, we're raising them to be adults someday, to be able to take care of themselves. And, you know, my mom did a really good job of that. Yeah. And I'm thankful to have her here and love her. And I'll give a preview of her Mother's Day card. It says, if you're happy and you know it, thank your mom. There's a lot of truth in that. So thanks, Mom. Happy Mother's Day.
Anyone else? Sister Watson. Amen. Anyone else? I don't want to take too much time, but I do want to make sure you have a chance. I'd like to join in with Donnie and say that Debbie's been a great mom to Doug and Don, and it just seems like they're a perfect fit, her as mother and them as the boys. And I appreciate her patience, and I appreciate sometimes when her patience ran out and they had to toe the mark, but she did a great job in loving them. And you know, when your kids get older, you don't stop being parents. Our kids are old now. Doug's 40 something. Don's getting there next year, brother. But they're still your children. And you don't like to see them hurt, and you're delighted when they do well. That's the way we feel about our kids. But Debbie's a great mom, and she's worked hard and always had time. If she hadn't fed Donnie back when he was little, he wouldn't be here today. She had to force feed him nearly. But boy, after about 6 or 7 years after that, we didn't have any problem. He's done pretty good since then. Appreciate our moms. Appreciate each one. Teresa told me after we had the election last week, said, you know who's happy about this? I said, no, who? She said, my mom. She said, my mom loved you. And you know what? I appreciate Christine, because she always gave me little plaques and things that were encouraging and a blessing. She said, my mom and Autry and your mom. And I'm sure of that. These were good people, and we just love and appreciate them so much. Whether your mom's with you or not, it's a day to remember and to be thankful. Mothers can't save us. It takes something else to be saved. But they pray, and there's a lot of people saved today because of a mother's prayer. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So Jesus was born, and his mother pondered the things of his birth in her heart. He died on the cross, and his mother beheld it all. And then when he was risen, his mother got to see him alive again before he ascended. So we appreciate moms, but we want everyone to know that Jesus loves you. And he died that you might be born again. Doesn't matter about churches. You know, I used to be big in the Pentecost Church of God. Oh, you have to come to this church. You don't have to come to any church. But you have to believe in your heart Jesus Christ and have the forgiveness of the Lord in our hearts. Lord, we're thankful for everyone that's here. For everyone that's here. I pray, God, that you'll touch every heart and that you'll allow each one of us to leave today knowing that we love you and we serve you and we've given our hearts to you. And we're not trying to hold anything back. We want you to have us all and be a blessing and a strength in our lives. Touch every life, Lord. Bring your love and your peace and your spirit to every heart and life. And I pray, Lord, today, your special blessing upon moms, your strength and your love. Praise God. Before we leave, does anyone need prayer for anything? God is able. If you're, sometimes we wake up and we just, But if you want prayer, we want to pray. Okay, we're all good. Lord, we're thankful that we're all good. We pray your blessing and your strength upon each and every one. Lord, that as we go today, that we rejoice with our moms, that we honor them, and we pray that you'll bring blessing to our hearts and lives. Strengthen every one of us, Lord. Until we meet again, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Oh, ladies, go this door. There's big things and little things waiting for you. And you can look at the moms.